Guess it's pretty preposterous thing to say this day and generation that evolution is a lie. Some people, of course, they call it a theory of some kind, but I think that gives it over much credence myself. A lie, that's really what it is. And of course, Bible does say, that a world of unbelief has willfully chosen to exchange the truth for a lie. And of course, suffers the consequences. The result of that, of course, is widespread suffering and hopelessness the world over. And of course, you have it in your own society today too. But of course, there is an answer. There is a remedy for the suffering, the pain, and the hopelessness that humanity faces. And that, of course, is faith. Faith, that which you do not have. Faith in the true and living God. Not faith in false religion or any religion, but the God whom you know exists. The one who has shown himself to you. The one who has made himself plain to you. And the one who you understand. The truth of whom you suppress in unrighteousness, he says. And of course, the result of that is you are separated from him. You are without hope in this world. And of course, the world to come also. But in the Bible, and in the Bible alone, which is God's word, you have the answer. You have the antidote. You have the remedy for the world's suffering, pain, and hopelessness. Because if you trace, you see, the suffering, whatever it might be, whether it be starvation, whether it be war, conflict, whatever the suffering humanity faces, if you were to trace it, honestly I mean, back to its original source, you would arrive back at the same place each and every time. Whether it be the violence of men, lust and greed, starvation, war, violence of any kind, whatever it might be, it'll take you back to the beginning, to the garden where your first parents and my first parents, a man called Adam and a woman called Eve, they sinned and brought sin and suffering and death into the world. Man, the Bible you can read of for yourself. I'll gladly give you a copy of God's word to read for yourself. Man who came to Jesus one day and asked him, he was suffering. Got a son who was full of evil, wickedness, just like many of you here this afternoon, I don't doubt. His son was driving him crazy. The mother had long gone, just the father and the son. He comes to Jesus, like many people do, as we see in the Gospels, asking for help. If you can do anything, he says, anything, please. help us. Jesus gave to that man the answer. The answer to his suffering. The answer to your suffering. The answer to humankind's suffering. He said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith, you see, overcomes not the suffering, but the cause. Trouble is, you see, you are always looking to deal with the effects and you ignore the cause. You want the effects to be taken away. You have this love affair with sin, you see. You love the sin, you love the darkness, you hate the light. Or you hate the effects of the sin, the suffering, the torment, the misery it brings to you. So you want the effects, you see, to be taken away, but you want to cleave to the sin. Well, you can't have it both ways. But instead of dealing with the effects, if you go to the root cause, the one common denominator that binds the entirety of the human race together. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as long as there's sin, as long as there's unbelief, there will always be suffering, pain, and hopelessness. But Jesus gives the answer. Every time somebody in the gospel narratives comes to him with their troubles, whatever they might be, different kinds, shapes, sizes, they come with their troubles, and he gives the same answer every time, in different words, but the same answer. Only believe. Just trust in God. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. But of course the question that would follow on from that is, what exactly does Jesus mean by believing? Believing in him, and believing of course that he and he alone, not Allah, not Muhammad who's dead, buried and gone to hell, not Buddha or Confucius, not your favourite or brought up with religion, whatever it might be, but believing in God, the true and living God, the one whom you know exists, and the one of whose knowledge you suppress in unrighteousness. It is believing in him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and him alone. Of course, you have this nonsense that's been taught amongst you for, well, I dare say for decades now, and especially so in the light of the developing political correctness. Partly politically correct to declare that Jesus Christ and he alone is the one and only way back to God and from sin's dark path. But that is what the Bible teaches. It is an exclusive message. It excludes Islam. It excludes Buddhism. It excludes Confucianism. It excludes atheism, godlessness, evolutionism. It excludes everything but faith in Jesus Christ. For he alone, you see, he alone you must believe in order to have the cause of your suffering, your hopelessness, your pain dealt with. Believing that he, Jesus, and he alone can deal with your sin problem. Jesus, of course, declares this himself to be so. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. No other name, the Bible says, under heaven by which a man can be saved, the woman can be saved. Only through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You, of course, and your offspring are taught unbelief and have been done so for many, many a year now in your schools, colleges, universities. Comparative religion, they used to call it. Doesn't matter what a person believes as long as they believe in something. And now, of course, you're left with a nation that doesn't believe anything at all. Running on empty, not even running on the fumes of a former faith. Empty, bereft of anything, adrift. And of course, well, the suffering that will result from that in days to come is untold. But comparative religion, call it what you will, all roads, doesn't matter what a person believes, all roads, all faith lead to the one God anyhow. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches, contrary to what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, the world, everything in it, you yourself, contrary to what He Himself teaches. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So believing that Jesus, and He alone and no one else, can do the business, can deliver you from the cause, not the effects, the cause of your suffering. You treat the cause and the effects disappear. But of course, you carry on treating the effects and leave the cause be, while the effects just keep coming back again and again. Then, of course, Jesus would mean by this His call to faith: if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Meaning that He is able to deliver the goods, you know. To deliver you from the cause, the sin that causes the effects, you know. Believing that He is able, that He has the ability, well, just as the Bible says He does. Able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him, and through Him, of course, alone. Believing that Jesus Christ is able, well, of course He's able. He created a universe in 6 literal days, 24-hour periods. So surely, to deal with your sin problem and its attendant misery, unhappiness, surely to such a one as this, this would be a small thing, would it not? Of course, I know, contrary to this, you're taught from the cradle, and most of you, I dare say, to the grave, you're taught and you believe in this lie, this pernicious lie of evolution that leads men and women down the pathway to perdition. I urge you to stop and think about it for a moment. It is a lie. It is a lie. If evolution be true, then what are you as a human being? Huh? That means you're not a man, woman, created in the image of God. That means you're just a piece of stardust, a piece of chemical fizz. That's all you are. Just a piece that's broken off of the matter, you know. But pray tell me, will you please, how you get to this place? You know, there was a bang, there was nothing, and there was a bang, and then this bang, you know, after a few billion years, imagine a billion years, brought about matter. And then there was a few billion years, and the matter turned into something intelligent. And then a few more billion years, and the intelligent matter became ethical, moral, you know. Pray tell me how you get to that place as an intelligent human being, a rational creature, how can you possibly get to that place? And please tell me, if the universe is just simply material, just matter, then please tell me, how do you get things like the laws of nature, without which you cannot do science, logic, philosophy, or anything else? Please tell me how. Answer those questions for me, would you please? No, you cannot do science, philosophy, logic, you cannot do any of these things if all you are is the product of evolution. If all you are is just a piece of chemical fizz. Laws, you see, the universal laws of logic and the laws of nature come from an intelligent mind. Matter does not produce laws. They come from an intelligent mind, and of course that mind is that of God. Jesus Christ, who in 6 days created the universe and everything in it. So his ability, you see, is unquestionable. Then, of course, for you to peruse the narratives of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that same Jesus, you'll find him healing the sick, speaking to disease almost as though it was personal, rebuking it and driving it from the person. You'll find him giving eyesight to the blind. His enemies, those who crucified him, said of him, "No man ever opened the eyes of the blind, but this man did." Then, of course, you'll find him too raising the dead, and he himself, of course, raised from the dead after 3 days in the tomb. So the question of his ability to deal with your sin problem and its attendant misery, torment, pain and suffering, depression and everything else that goes with your sin sickness, he is able, more than able, believe me, to deal with such. If that is, you can believe. You see, that's the question that's put back to the man who comes to Jesus asking for help. If thou canst believe. In other words, it's not a question as to whether Jesus can do the business. It's a question as to whether you can believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then, of course, it would mean on Jesus' part, it would mean believing that he is willing to do this thing. You know, if you were to believe, well, his willingness to, I suggest to you, is unquestionable. His coming into the world and taking the form of, a human being, a man, born of a woman, born under the law, as the Bible puts it, becoming a man, taking the form of a servant, he who in nature was God, took upon himself manhood, servanthood, and became obedient to God's law, even to the point of death, suffering the crucifixion on the cross. For he to do such and to go to such lengths, does that not suggest to you a willingness on his part to save, to deliver you from the bondage of your sin and iniquity, your rebellion against God, to bring you back to God and deliver you from the misery, the torment, the suffering, the pain that your sin causes? Of course he is. And of course, well, again, were you to read the gospel narratives, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there, of course, you see his willingness time and time again to help and to deliver people who come to him with their needs. Of course, it's almost always the case, were you to ask any bona fide Christian, he's the last person that people think of. He ought to be the first, but he's not. You know, you'll try the social workers and the psychos and everybody else and the patches from the chemist and the self-help books and you try everybody and anything but come to Jesus, the one who can actually deliver the goods. Yes, he's able, he alone is, and he's willing. And of course, if you look again to the cross, some people, they say it was the nails that held him to the cross. Others of us, we say it was his love for the lost world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Or you could put it this way, for Jesus so loved the world that he gave himself up to the death of the cross, that he that believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Unbelief, you see, unbelief is what keeps you in your sin and keeps you trapped in the misery, the torment, the pain, the suffering that it causes. But if thou canst believe, says Jesus, all things are possible, even the miracle of your salvation, relief, restoration to God, peace, hope, and joy, and eternal life. Salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But then, of course, well, you may ask the question as to why it is that more people do not believe. Well, I've already given you some hints to that, the unbelief, in which, of course, you're all born. Bible says, you see, that sin is more than just what you think and say and do. It includes that. But it's your very nature, you see. You're conceived in sin, your mother's wombs. You're born in iniquity. You're born in sin and rebellion. You're born with a bias towards sin and unbelief. You see, that's what emits from your sinful natures. That's why, you see, when you get somebody like Darwin or Dawkins popularizing atheism, you home in on them, you know, you grab hold of them, any means at all by which you can seek to justify your godless atheism. Yes, sir.
Oh, Mike.
What?
Standing, Mike.
I can't.
Hey.
Oh, I am.
You can't stand over there.
No.
People are paid.
Sorry. Carrying on. I'll be done in a minute, yeah.
No,
please yourself. So, there we have it, people. You know, the justifying the ungodliness, any means at all that helps you to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But of course, God there has also given you help in the matter. You know, he says that for you to look at all the things that God has made, there is help for you, you see. It becomes clear, you see, the attributes and the power of God in all his creative activity. Some people, of course, they come to me, they say that they want evidence, you know, prove to me that God exists. Well, no, is the answer to that question, because you see, proof you do not need, evidence you do not need. It's submission to God that's required of you. That you do you submit to the Almighty, you raise the white flag. Because, you see, you know that God is. He has made it plain to you, shown it to you. He says, you even understand it. So there, people, you're left without any excuse at all, says God. Whoever you are, wherever you come from, the darkest jungle, South America, North America, the East, the West, it matters not. You are without any excuse at all for not knowing the true and living God. He has revealed himself, made himself known, and particularly so in his word in the Bible. But of course,
Officers of Regulatory Services.
Reverend James Hamilton. Yes.
I was wondering if you can come to some negotiation with you virtually. What it is obviously in the street, essentially, which I look after.
Okay.
You can obviously do what you're doing.
Right.
What we've got here is what's is Staffordborough Council's land.
Right.
And it's actually a demonstration area.
Right.
And Staffordborough Council can control who comes into his area.
Right.
We do it by selling a license to
right.
other people. So
can I just stop you for a minute? I just want to say two things. One is, I've been standing here every Friday just about for the last 12 years. Okay. The second thing is, I will gladly work with you. Because of your attitude. His was bullshit. When somebody comes at me bullshit. I put the shutters up. So what do you want me to do?
If you could just sort of move
over here?
Just over there.
Gladly, sir. Gladly.
Okay. Thanks so much for your help.
You're welcome, sir. Learn the lesson. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You come bolshy, sir. You came bolshy. Okay. Thank you, sir. So before I was interrupted, as I was saying, you know that God has also given you his word, you see, and helps here, you see, because the message, you see, it doesn't come from man, it doesn't come from the church itself even, it's not devised, you see, by man, but revealed by God himself. And there you see in the testimony of Scripture, the testimony concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. His word, you see, the highest authority that there is, you see, in all the universe, in all the world. There is no higher authority. You read, of course, for yourself, you may, in the Bible, and you see how that, the people are astonished that the things that Jesus says. It's not because of the way he says them, but the authority. But I say unto you, all the religious leaders of his day, you see, they were always quoting other sources, other rabbis and such and so forth. But Jesus, he goes to the highest authority that there is, himself, as the creator of the universe and the sustainer of it. Jesus Christ is not striving to have his voice heard in this world. His voice sustains it.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
God's in power. God's in power, right?
Yes, sir.
So God can create an immovable object.
Say again.
So God can create an immovable object.
An immovable object. Yes.
If he can create an immovable object, that object is then immovable, meaning he can't move it. He's then no longer infallible.
Oh, I see, right. That's a conundrum there.
That's the problem with God supposedly being all-powerful, because all-powerful means that he can create something that can literally destroy himself.
When you say,
if he were to do that, he would be all-powerful.
Sorry, no, let's go back again.
It's impossible to be all-powerful.
No, please, let me answer you. God cannot create an immovable object. Let me finish. I fell into your trap. Immovable from a human perspective, not from God can move anything.
But if he can move or create anything, then he can create something that is impossible to move.
For us to move, yes, not him.
He can create something that is truly impossible.
No.
There's no limits to what he can create.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
So he could create something that he...
Only his will. Only his will.
But that would then make him infallible.
No.
It would, because then he can't move it.
No.
He can create his own demise.
Let me ask you a question. let me ask you a question. How can you and I have this debate if there is no God? How can you have one single meaningful thought if God is not?
Because my thoughts are given to me by
who?
Greek gods.
By who?
By my Greek gods.
Your Greek gods?
Yes.
Oh man, right, okay. I've never come across this one before. Wow. Okay, the Greek gods, yeah. And what do they do for you?
Well, each and every one of them gives us their own gifts, all underneath the great god Zeus.
All right. We read about him in the New Testament. Yeah.
He's not in the New Testament. I came from a Christian family.
Right. He's mentioned, I think, was it the Ephesians? I want to argue the point. I don't quite remember. But listen, sir, everybody knows, Romans chapter 1, God has made it plain to them, God has shown it to them, they even understand that he is the true, not the gods. There can't be more than one God, sir.
But there's another thing. If God is this truly great infinite thing, how can we truly fathom it? How can we truly fathom it?
You can't. You would be God.
But you're standing here. You're standing here preaching.
Yeah.
As if you know God.
I do know him.
You can't know God.
I do.
He's infinite.
I do know him, but not infinitely.
But then you can't. He's incomprehensible. Every facet of him.
He's incomprehensible, but knowable.
But then how?
Because he's revealed himself.
But that's the thing. He's infinite. We cannot truly fathom.
No, not altogether. But
so
you can,
how
but you
can
but, yeah, but you can still, but you can still know him, sir.
But you can't know him.
You can know, me, but you don't know everything about me.
At which point, I don't really know you.
I'm saying you could know me. I'm saying you could know me.
I know.
I mean, is there anybody that you know, that you could honestly say, hand on heart, that you know completely, infinitely?
Yes.
There is?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen, sir, I have heard it so many times before. When somebody has committed some vile crime or something or another, and somebody says, you know, I'd never have believed of that person. Yeah, that they would have been capable. They thought that they were the epitome of respectability and morality, and here they've gone and done this terrible things. I never really knew that person.
There we go.
I never really knew that person.
There are many people that say, I cannot believe in the horrible atrocities that God allows to happen. And so therefore, how can you truly know him?
He's got a moral reason for it. Even though I might not know what it is.
Is there a moral reason for killing hundreds of thousands of people? Actually, is there a moral reason...
Called judgment.
Is there a moral reason for impregnating an innocent woman without her consent? You do know what that is, don't you? That's rape.
Yes.
And God did that.
No.
No, the Virgin Mary.
Oh, no.
No, really, the Virgin Mary. She wasn't aware of it. She didn't know.
That's
he
right.
He impregnated her, and an alien just came down and said, hey, you're pregnant.
And she was and she was very happy.
But it's still right.
She was blessed.
But it's still right.
No.
It is. By definition.
No.
By the Bible, what is on earth is also in heaven. I know it's stated differently. It's in a different word.
Yeah.
But, you know, our law here is the law in heaven, and so our law of rape here is the law of rape in heaven. So he raped her.
No.
He created. He did atrocity.
No, sir. No, he blessed through the woman. He blessed the world with a savior,
but
Jesus
no,
Christ,
I,
the
I,
Lord.
But the thing is, someone other. And you just took his name in vain. That's horrible.
Sir, you need to.
You took his name in vain. You said Jesus Christ, the Lord. You took his
name.
Yes.
That's not taking his name in vain. That's his title.
You used his name.
That's his title.
No, his title is God. He has no true name. Jesus Christ is not the person to be worshipped.
They shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins.
Yes, that's
Jesus Christ is the Lord.
That's Jesus Christ, but he's not the Lord. The Lord is God.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is God.
No.
God manifest in the flesh.
No, Jesus is God's Son, and that is stated in the Bible.
Three persons. One God, three persons. God the Father,
Jesus
God the
Christ.
Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
You've done the one thing that a lot of Christians do. Jesus Christ is not God. It is stated in the Bible itself that it's, that it's do not worship me, worship my Father.
No, sorry. If you don't worship Jesus...
At least I know my God's well, mate.
If you don't worship Jesus Christ, you will go to hell, sir. Repent and believe the gospel. Well, after yet another interruption. Yes, as I was saying, the testimony of Scripture, the Word of God, you see, every word of it breathed out by God, the testimony of God Himself, you see, salvation revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ, for all who will believe. The answer, you see, to man's suffering, the answer to all the suffering, to the pain, of course, that comes out of the one source for every single person the world over, you see. The source, right back to the beginning, to the original sin that brought sin and death and all the suffering into the world. The antidote, the answer to it, Jesus Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If thou canst believe, all things are possible. Even your salvation is possible this very day, if you would but believe. Jesus, as revealed in the Bible, contrary to the gentleman's argument, just Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, the Son of God, and God the Son, who stepped down into this world to be a Savior and a Lord, and for all who will bow the knee to Him in submission, waving the white flag, as it were, in submission to God through Jesus Christ, find salvation. Faith, believing, you see, is the answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, repentance and faith, repentance unto faith, that is the way, you see, into the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is near, says Jesus. Repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son. For whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved from sin's penalty, its consequences, its suffering, its misery and torment that it brings into the world. You see, and to you yourselves as well. The answer, you see, the cause is sin and the effect is the misery. You want rid of the misery, then you deal with the effects, you see. You deal with the cause, rather. And the cause, of course, sin in the human heart, common to each and all of us. Can I help you, sir? No? Okay. Sin is the cause, you see, and it's sin that you must deal with, not the effects. And the only way to deal with it is through faith in God's Son, you see, who was spent on the cross, who died on that Roman cross 2,000 years ago, whose blood was shed, atoning blood that was shed to wash away the sins of those who would believe, who would trust in Jesus. And so, you too, you see, it is by grace, the gift of God, that is. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, through grace alone, through faith alone, no other way, because it's not a works. You cannot work for a gift. You cannot labor for a gift. if you have to work for it, be good for it, or anything else, then it's no longer, I guess it's no longer grace, you see? Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, who is both willing and able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him, believing, trusting in Jesus Christ, God's Son. It's the way out of the misery and of the suffering, because it deals, you see, with the cause. It deals with the sin issue, the sin problem. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin's penalty, its consequences, and of course, saved from its power too, because it has this gripping, it has this ability, does it not? As many of you know, to hold you in its vice-like grip, and it doesn't easily let you go. You see, the truth of the matter is, you cannot of yourself overcome one single sin. Without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. And of course, well, many of you could bear testimony to that if you were truly honest. You know, the addictions that you have that you struggle with and strive to get the better of, but cannot for the life of you, no matter how much you try. Because inside of you is the principle of sin, you see, is far, far too strong for you to break and cancel its power. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, shall be saved from sin's power, and of course his presence too, that permeates the world in which you live today, your own society. Maybe perhaps some of you in a quieter moment as reflection, you think to yourself, surely there must be something better than this sin-cursed world in which I live in society. And of course the answer is yes, there is. It's called the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which Jesus says you ought to seek first. You seek after many things, you lust after many things, but Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. And then of course, the heart of the matter is that you live in a world full of sin, and the way above and beyond it, of course, is to trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus says, for entrance into the kingdom of God. And to live, of course, in fellowship and communion with the true and living God, through Jesus Christ, his Son, who came into the world for this reason and purpose, not to make you religious, not to make you religious, but to save, to rescue you from that which causes the misery, the torment, the sin. Deal with the sin, and the effects, you see, they disappear. So, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. The miracle of God's salvation, possible, if you can believe. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the answer to sin. Salvation is entered in. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, take home with you, read for yourself, see that these things are so, let us offer to you free of charge, without cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take, and do with as you will. God's Word, Abel, has the ability to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.